y'all. It's time for Rolling Dice and Taking Names. In this episode, the guys review Barcelona, Color Field, Courtesans, and Bacon. Marty just wrote Bacon. Did they do a taste buds? Is it a game? Is it chocolate covered? Is it sprinkled over ice cream? Is it Kevin?
Hello and welcome to episode number 318, My Sharona. This is Tony. My Sharona. You're Marty. Oh, I'm sorry.
You stepped on my lyric.
I thought we were going to sing the song.
My Sharona. I don't know why you picked the song. Looking down the list here, I just don't.
You don't get it? You don't get it? You don't see it?
Is it because it rhymes with Barcelona?
Yeah. So when we were playing, and we'll be talking about Barcelona, it just stuck in my head that whole night we were playing. Both the times we've played, I kept going through where I was going, Barcelona.
Great. So, thanks. Now I'll be doing that the whole stinking review. Okay. Well, there's your earworm right there, everybody. My Sharona from the Knack.
From the Knack, yes. Now, that's one of those songs that you do not listen to the lyrics. You just, they're just going, and you just keep going, My Sharona, and no one knows what they say.
My Sharona. My Sharona. That's true. I have no clue what they're saying.
None. You don't remember the lyrics at all. And it's just like kind of like, what's the one? It's not, I always go, dadgummit, Yacht Rock has messed me up big time because they're starting to run together. Oh, which brings me to a squirrel.
Yeah.
So I recently bought a new car for the first time in a very, very, very long time. And I got 90 days of Sirius XM.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And it's coming up for renewal. Yep. I'm not renewing it.
Okay.
I mean, they keep sending us letters saying, hey, we'll do it $4 a month, $4 a month. We'll open up premium and things like that. But I've noticed something, because normally I don't listen to the radio, but they keep playing the same songs over and over and over. I thought the beauty of this was it was going to be all this different stuff.
Right.
And then they're talking to me too, like DJs. I'm like, I don't want to listen to you.
So we did the same thing. We got it free for a while, and I thought it was kind of cool. But yeah, we didn't renew it either. But yeah, it is just kind of like, it's just commercialless radio, but you still got the DJs and everything.
Yeah, I don't need it. I don't want them.
If you don't listen to the radio, what do you listen to?
Nothing.
Donna. Really? You don't have anything on?
Nothing. It's either turn left, turn right. Yes.
No, I don't listen to the radio. I can't drive in silence. I've got to have something on.
The Sound of Silence. It's awesome.
Yeah, that, but you can connect up your phone and play, you know, music through your phone.
I can now.
Yeah.
So the old car didn't have Bluetooth. Right. It didn't have USB. It didn't have any of that. Mm-hmm. So I got used to riding, and I didn't want to hear the chatter of the radio. So I got used to not having it on.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So I got used to that. Why would I want to pay you after the 12 months at $4 a month? Why would I want to pay you $21.99 a month?
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, for me, Spotify, or we have Amazon Music because we have the family plan. That's a much better way to go because with your phone, you can run those right through your radio and pick your own playlist, right?
Yeah, with unlimited data, I'm good to go. I'm already paying Verizon a buku amount of money. Why not just continue it?
Exactly. No, I agree. I don't really see the value either. I think a lot of people like it for, I guess, podcast or talk podcast shows instead of music or news shows, sports talk, maybe something like that.
Yeah. And I can see that. I can also see where, okay, I have a lot bigger list to choose from if I go over. Well, not, it wasn't really. So I went over to the smooth listening jazz area looking for, you know, some jazz, looking for some new age, and the new age station or spa radio. Madonna goes, how do you not fall asleep while driving? I'm like, this is tranquil. This is meditation time. This is me going to work. I can meditate. But she's like, okay, sure, whatever. I'd be asleep on my way to work on this. But that's actually been good. There's no talk or anything like that. It's straight instrumental stuff. But you know me and my new age.
Okay, I'm all about Chris. This is kind of a good little segue into a little thing I want to do with you, okay? All right.
Oh, so, not this several, again. Several not this again.
Ago, several episodes ago, we talked about a game called Song Saga, where you're asked questions and you're supposed to give like a song and a reason why or some story behind it. So I went through the deck and pulled out three more cards, and we got a lot of interaction on our Discord channel. A lot of people came in and said, here's the answers to my three. So I thought I would do the same thing again. So I'm going to create a thread in our Discord channel with these questions, and people can come in and answer them yourselves. So one of them is really easy, okay? So the goal is I'm going to ask a question, or and you're just supposed to name a song that reminds you that or something. But here we go. Your first concert.
My first concert. Oh, let's see. My first concert was probably that I can remember, mm-hmm. and I didn't buy the tickets. I mm-hmm. was taken to, mm-hmm. and that was, oh my gosh. I know who the lead singer or the intro act was. That's what I remember the most.
Oh,
and that was this country singer. She hadn't gotten her name or anything like this. Her name was this person called Barbara Mandrell.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay.
It was a long time ago.
So my parents, I'm trying to remember who the lead was for it because it was so loud they took me out. Mm. But it was down at a amusement park here in the Carolinas called Carowinds.
Yes.
And they had the amphitheater out mm-hmm. where that's one of the places you could go and see concerts and you didn't have to pay to go into the park.
Right.
And I was a young little whippersnapper. I'm trying to think if it was Kris Kristofferson and she was leading for him or the opening act. But that was my first concert.
So what about the first concert that you wanted to go to that you said, I'm going to buy tickets and go to this yourself?
That was by pure luck, and that was the Rolling Stones at Carter Finley Stadium.
Really? Okay, so that was your first one.
Yeah, I worked at Camelot Music. And for those who don't know, Camelot Music was a store that actually sold these things called cassettes and CDs and this thing that's come back called albums.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the Ticketmaster guy, and my job was to go back there and hit the button to get the Ticketmaster tickets. And they went on sale, and we got front row seats at the Rolling Stones that day.
That's awesome. I loved Camelot Music. I remember there was one on Independence Boulevard that I went to all the time. Was it Grapevine first and then turned to Camelot or the other mm-hmm. way? Grapevine first?
Yeah, Grapevine first, yeah. They had a great classical room over at that one where you would go past all the other music and you could go into it. It was sound enclosed and you could just listen to all the classical. That was a great store.
That's cool. All right, so my first concert was Styx, and it was the Kilroy Was Here tour.
Okay.
So Mr. Roboto, and she ended up being really cool because that ended up being a lot, you know, that is a concept album. So at the beginning mm-hmm. of the concert, there's like a 15-minute film that introduces the whole storyline, and then they come on stage and it's basically a musical throughout the entire show, which was really cool. So that was my first one.
Was Kilroy there?
Yeah, he was. He was.
Okay.
I can't remember if they did other songs beside just that album. I can't remember if they came back after the show. Like, they did the whole album, but I can't remember if after they completed the album, if they came back for like encores and stuff and did their classic.
So before you go to the next one, I will segue off of that one or squirrel off of that one. Was there a concert you wish you had gone to that you never got that opportunity? Is there a certain group?
Yeah, I mean, so during that time, I was really into the arena rock, such as Styx. I wish I had seen Journey in their prime with Steve Perry. I think that would have been a cool show. I mean, there are some bands that I did get to see, thankfully. Like, I grew up with Kansas. I saw them later on. Boston, I actually saw when we were in college. I went to Chapel Hill. They were playing on campus in Chapel Hill. And it's when they released their third stage album. And I went and saw that.
So your answer is Journey then for the... I waver between Journey and the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Eagles.
You know, because we had the opportunity, because when they did the return tour to see them, it would have been nice to see the Eagles. And I'd like to have seen it when we were back in college, and we could have maybe spent like $27, not $250.
All right. So, wow, this is a lot on this one question. So, Vanessa and I grew up huge fans of the Electric Light Orchestra, ELO.
ELO.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it was always the front man, Jeff Lynne, who kind of did everything, but he's doing an over and out tour. This is the last time he's ever going to tour. And so tickets went on sale this week, and I was like part of their fan club thing where you can kind of get tickets early. And the closest they're coming to is Atlanta. And so tickets went on sale, and I hadn't told Vanessa about this, and I messaged Vanessa and I said, all right, so here's the thing. ELO's coming to Atlanta on a Saturday in October. Tickets are $150 a piece before fees. Wow. Mm. And I said, do you want to do this? And she immediately wrote back. She said, this is a once in a lifetime thing. Let's do it. So okay. I got us two tickets, and that is not the best tickets. That is probably mid-tier. At least we're middle. So it's in like a basketball arena. So mm-hmm. we're like in the lower deck on the end zone, basically,
okay.
instead of on the floor. So yeah, so we dumped a bunch of money in that because she said, you know what? We'll never get to do this again. You and I have been fans for decades, so let's go see them. So we're going to go do that.
Oh, nice. We'll go out there, get you some chicken and waffles on downtown Atlanta.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I guess it's the arena where the Hawks play, maybe.
Well, sure. That's pretty much, yeah. Yeah, okay. I'd be in the downtown area, so probably.
All right. Second question. Here we go. Disco is not dead. What is the song? What's the song for you that says, you know what? Disco isn't dead for me because I still like X. I'll go first and let you think about it, okay?
Okay.
Mine is easy, and maybe it's a deep cut, but it's Groove Line by Heatwave.
I know that.
If you went and listened to it, you'd go, oh yeah, I know that song. It is just a pumping song with an incredible bass line in it. Heatwave also did Boogie Nights, which their two big songs were Boogie Nights and Groove Line.
Okay. As I'm listening to it right now, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I every once in a while I'll just ask Alexa to play that song. It just pumps, man. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. So mine is sad because it always jumps in my head. So disco is not dead, but I still enjoy is and a lot of it is just for life lessons is staying alive. Staying okay. alive.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's how you do CPR. Just staying alive.
No, Bee Gees, I mean that kicked off and was probably the pinnacle of the disco era, right? With Saturday mm-hmm. Night Fever. I was going to say Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Fever movie. And it was a good album. They had good songs on that.
Oh, and, yeah, they still
stand the test of time. I mean, if you go to any wedding or any karaoke or something, like somebody's going to be playing a Bee Gees somewhere along mm-hmm. the way for sure.
And everybody gets up and those you actually probably know the lyrics to.
Possibly. And of course, people still do YMCA from Village People.
Yeah, that one can be stay dead. Because I don't need to be making some YMCA every time. Because you know it's coming. You know it's coming. And if you're the one who doesn't do YMCA,
if you're a ball game, you got to do it. You got to make the letters with your arms.
Oh, I know. Stay dead. Please stay dead. Okay.
All right. And the last one. Here we go. Every time you hear it, it makes you laugh.
Every time I hear it, go for it. I don't know this one.
This one is easy for me too. It is Meat Loaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Lights because the story of that song is so freaking funny. So if you've never listened to the lyrics, basically he goes mm-hmm. out with a girl and he's like, he wants to go all the way with her, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go all the way tonight. I'm going to go all the way tonight. And it's one where it has the baseball announcer talking about him going around the bases. And trying to, mm-hmm. you know, go home. And it's like, stop right there before we go mm-hmm. any further. Will you love me? Will you love me forever? So that goes back and forth. And he goes, yes. And then he says, I'll love you till the end of time. I swore I'll love you till the end of time. There's a short musical break. And then he goes, well, now I'm praying for the end of time. And it's just so
funny.
To
hurry up and arrive. Because if I got to spend another minute with you.
See, it's a funny song. It's just a great story within a song. It just cracks me up because I know where it goes. It's like, he spent all that time wanting to get with her. It's like, nope, never mind. That was a mistake.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here going through my head of little ones. And when you said that songs that would make me laugh, and I'm like, okay, so, you know, we talked about 10cc and I'm not in love, but I'm like, that doesn't really make me laugh. But when you said Meatloaf, I immediately jumped to 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I want you, I need you, but I'm never going to love you.
Ah, yeah,
because
don't be
two
sad.
Out of three ain't bad. And I'm just like, I don't, that's kind of sad that I laugh at that you're sitting there, standing there looking at someone and you're pleading with them. They're like, oh, but you know, you're mine. And aren't I yours? Well, kind of, well, you know, 2 out of 3, that's better than batting 500. So you're in good shape. Okay. But So yeah, if you think of some of the Meatloaf songs, his the lyrics are just you got read them like "Bat Out of Hell" and you know it's just some of those are some great songs. That's somebody else I wish I had gone and seen.
That's a great album.
It used to be number one for forever.
It was. I don't know. "Bat Out of Hell" is one of those. If I made a top 10 album list, that would be in the top 10 easily. Oh, yeah. Because like every song in there is so good.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Instead of board games, maybe we'll do our top 10 album list.
Oh, I would know what my number one is easily.
Well, we can't say it because we may have to. We'll do a top five.
Can't we'll say do it. A top we'll five. Do a top five sometime. Our top five albums of all time. That'd be fun. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to throw this out there too. We are getting ready to get into the time when if those who are going to Gen Con, the events registration is going to open up where people can start buying tickets for events and things they want to go to. We do want to tell you, save the date for our strike tournament. It is happening, and it is happening that Thursday night at Gen Con at 7 p.m. at the Old Spaghetti Factory. We don't know when our tickets are going to become available, but we will for sure let you know on the show. But if you're a member of our Discord channel, you're going to get to know a little bit earlier and possibly be able to grab the tickets. What I've done every year since we've had the Discord channel, I open up the tickets one day early for those in the Discord channel first, and then I open them up to everybody. We're going to have 80 or 85 this year, depending on some other people that may be coming. So they sell out quick. But the big news here, Tony, and I'm excited to tell this, this event, for the first time ever, is officially being sponsored by Robin's Burger Games, who makes Strike.
That's right, because there's no Ravens in the burger.
We specifically asked them, how do you pronounce it? And they said, it is Robin's Burger.
Robin's Burger. Yeah, I will never forget that now. Robin's Burger is going to sponsor it. And we're still working out some of the details with them. And that is a note to myself. I have my notes over there that says, send this email to qualify or to quantify everything. A lot of ideas are kicking around. So, you know, we really can't, just like everything, tease out. But things are going to be happening. The only thing that could derail this is if OSF shuts down. That's the only thing, but we've got the contract in place. We know that. We're waiting on, we don't have the final prices yet. They're working on that because things, as you get closer, well, we'll post how much it's going to be, but hopefully it'll be the same price. They can't guarantee that, but we'll definitely be looking forward to getting that back from them. They were working through it. We just got the contract in place. So excited for that. I'm excited that we get to go back to the OSF and with the fact that we do such an amazing job, not we, our listeners who attend and maintaining the place. We don't trash it. We don't do anything like that. We hear constant thanks from OSF saying, hey, we will always have you back because y'all are respectful to the wait staff. You're respectful to the restaurant and you have a good time doing that. So we really do appreciate that. So, you know, as long as you and I end up going to Gen Con, I think we've got a home for Strike. It will be Thursday night at 7 p.m.
Also, because everybody's enthusiasm, how much you really get into it, is why Robin's Burger, who attended last year, said, we want in on this. And they approached us. We said, we want to help you make this event even bigger. And so we're excited to have them on. Like I said, we got some ideas being tossed around, but I'll just say this will potentially could be the biggest one we've ever done, especially for those that are attending. So keep your ears peeled and just save the date. Just remember Thursday night, 7 p.m. Block that on your calendar. It'll be coming soon.
And that's the Thursday of Gen Con. So you can save the date for the Thursday prior or after, but we'll be at Gen Con on that Thursday. So we just will make sure, because the things are moving pretty good at Gen Con now, right? I mean, the hotels are done. They've got the tickets out. I haven't seen if certain tickets have sold out. I'm sure they're going to be up in the crazy numbers again this year. And
oh, yeah. I don't think the attendee ticket hadn't sold out, but there's no hotels around.
Oh, and one other thing that's going to happen that we've agreed with Robin's Burger, if you're not able to attend the dinner, but you are going to be at the show, we will potentially be at the Robin's Burger booth for around 2 hours to host at large strike tournaments.
Yes, they're going to have an event room in like Hall D, wherever they do all the tournaments for like the card games and everything like that. They're going to have an area out there, and they said they would like us just to run a, it's not the official event. The official event's Thursday night. This is just an at-large. People can come and just play Strike and hang out and have some fun. We're still pitching around ideas there, too. What would be the incentive for y'all to come do that? Because it's not to hang out with us. Maybe there's some other things we can have going on there at that event. Now, that will be inside the Gen Con event registration. Those times and date hadn't been picked yet, but I think the tickets will be free, which is the nice thing about that.
Yes, I think they said that, everything is, they can do that because they have their own room. It can be free. They have some latitude with that.
Right.
All right. You know, how do I get my news on board gaming stuff other than through Marty or through Bert? One of the things I do is I subscribe to the Tantrum House newsletter. Yes, they have one. If you're not a subscriber, recommend you do it. I get my notifications that come in on the various Kickstarters they're previewing, things like that. But one just came in that got my attention. And they were talking about two cruises. Now, this is something that seems to be happening. There's the Dice Tower cruise. There's the Podfather cruise with Stephen Bonacore. And then Tantrum House isn't hosting one, but some of their members are going on a cruise. Matter of fact, Will and Sarah will be on a cruise, and it is called Blood on the Water or Blood in the Water. On or in. Look it up. Type it in both ways on Google. And Marty, this one, you know, they've got cameras all around the boat where they will see people jump off so that they know when you leave the boat like you're not supposed to.
Okay.
Man overboard sensors and all that good stuff. They've got that on these big, big cruise ships.
I'm not sure where you're going with this, but okay.
Well, this Blood In on the,
I assume, on the water, it's probably cruise. On the water because it's Blood on the Clock Tower, which is the popular social deduction game.
Okay, so there you go. They are going to be doing nothing but social deduction games. Could you see me on this cruise?
No. This is one cruise Tony will not go on. Could you imagine days of you just playing social deduction games?
That's where we were going with the cameras and jumping off the ship.
Man overboard.
No, please don't fish me in. I can't take it. No more. Just, I tell you what, go ahead and eliminate me and I'll see y'all at the buffet.
That's right.
So if you're there, a lot of, and the reason why I bring this up is one, there's a newsletter with Tantrum House. Two, there's all these cruises that are starting up. And if it's a vacation that you enjoy, this is getting involved. There's another one that they're on, and I forget who's attending for them, but it's a shorter cruise. It's out of Fort Lauderdale, but it's the normal board games. Now, they have board games on cruise ships, but it's like Scrabble and Monopoly and things like that. But so here it is. Hey, if you want to go see these destinations that are in the Caribbean or wherever the cruise ship is heading, I know Bonacore is going to do this one's the Transatlantic. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, these cruise ships, it's an opportunity. Bonacore is one that I'm looking at. The next one he announces, I want to see where they're going, because now Transatlantic, I want to try out being stuck on the water for 4 or 5 days and then have that opportunity. I can sit at the, I'll go sit at the pool for a while and then I'll go downstairs and play some board games and then go back up to the pool, do trivia, things like that. Something different for people to try out. But I thought for sure, I said, this one, like you said, I will never be on. No way. Mm-mm. I would. Oh, man. I get bored just sitting around in a pool chair. And then put this. Hey, well, you want to go play a game? No, I do not. I do not want to do this. I don't care what the destinations are. Okay. So well, thank you. Appreciate you letting me really talk about that. I wanted to shout out to the Tantrum House because that is a very good newsletter that they give, and that caught my eye. Now, like I said in the last episode, we have going to treat this like back to our roots. When we talked about Netrunner all the time, we're going to start talking about Star Wars Unlimited all the time now. So y'all can go ahead and skip ahead.
We'll try not to, but it's new, it's fresh.
You had the big news on this about the distribution.
So FFG put out this announcement saying, hey, we are very thankful for how well the game's been doing. We had a plan in place in case it sold so well to make sure to try to keep product out in people's hands. We're having to enact that earlier because the distributors are starting to run low on supply. So basically, they're going to start sending out the booster boxes in waves until the next set comes out. Immediately when they said that, I went, huh, interesting. So I went to Miniature Market, sold out. Cool Stuff Inc., sold out. Game Nerds, sold out. So booster boxes have now shot above price as of this recording, above MSRP, and they've been well below it for quite a while. Because the Miniature Market, before it came out, they got miniature boxes for $96 MSRP is 120. Now, when it came out in the miniature market, went back to the regular MSRP price, but now it's even above that if you buy it online from some other place. So it's a very popular game. Who knows? I mean, when the newness wears off, will people still like it? It's a time will tell thing. 1 year from now, we'll know a lot more than what we do now, but it's very popular right now.
Yeah, and I know you said that some tournaments are starting to show up in our local area, so maybe we can get to one or two of those in the future, like we used to do with Netrunner. Mm-hmm. But it was good to see in our recent play where you and I were playing that feel of, I'd constructed a decent deck. I haven't opened a lot of cards yet because of what we're doing, mm-hmm. but it begins to feel better than those starters. And you begin to see the synergies of various actions that you're taking or hey, this actually works.
Right.
And that's always a good feeling. Like yours was working very well with your Luke deck and my Chewbacca deck. It finally came together when I drew the right cards. There's still a lot of tweaking to go on there, but it was fun. That's what I play for. Did I construct something that plays well, that at least stands or has the ability to take on another deck? Now, I'll admit, the last time I played with that deck, I was decimated. But, you know, that happens. You don't get that card draw.
Right. And for those wondering, what we're doing is we're doing this little online tournament, starting with the starter decks, opening three packs a week and modifying that deck. So we didn't have a lot to add, right? I mean, I think there's some good ideas in your deck. You just need more copies of that card to make sure you draw into what you're trying to do. That's all. And as we open more packs, you'll get to that point. But no, I loved your Chewy deck. I thought it was really cool about, especially when you had two Chewies on the table or could have two Chewies out. You know, that was pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Chewbacca, not the non-leader one that has the grit? Like, no, is he the one when you attack him, he resets?
Yes.
That's brutal. Yeah. It's so, I'm just sitting there going, I don't want to attack this big dude because he has like a health of 9. He only does 2 damage, but then he gets what's called grit. Grit is he gets an additional point of damage he can deal out for every damage that is on him. So if I attack him, I buff him up and he readies to be able to attack again.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was the regular or the leader. I know the leader, and then I just put it in. Okay, he can be the clearance house for when I go against a Darth Vader deck where Darth is sitting out there and he's huge and you can just go out there, well, fine, I'll just attack with Chewie and I put Entrench on him and keep adding up the points and takes the damage. Boom, for every damage on him, stack that up and then done. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And then yours was really cool on how you were recycling all your cards. I was like, man. But it's funny how you were sitting there saying, you know, the C-3PO R2-D2 combo that they have where look at one card and then when I attack, I can call a number. And if that card, I can put it in my hand. Mm-hmm. That you were kind of like, maybe it's time to get rid of that. There's going to be a place for that again.
And the reason why I left it in there is because of card draw. Card draw is always good, right? Extra cards in your hand is always good. Gives you more options. Yeah. You just got to get them both out there for it to work. And they're kind of weenies. But I mean, I guess if you can get a couple of extra card draws out of it, maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, but you were sitting there giving all this experience to people left and right. They're buffing up everybody.
Yeah, and that's what opened up with my booster packs or those cards to basically, especially that one guy who gives every rebel unit a +1/+1 as long as he's on the table. Brutal.
Yeah, that's when Chewie's going to come in and,
and rip an arm off.
Oh, rip an arm off. Yeah, he hates to lose.
Speaking of hating to lose, let's talk about some games where I really hate to lose.
So you're getting ready to go on vacation and you need to get that Portal Games fix. First off, you can head over to shopportalgames.com, buy a game, take it in your luggage and, you know, give up some underwear, give up some space. You know, you can flip your underwear inside out. So you can put more board games in there. Maybe you're going on a cruise ship and you need a good two-player game. Small box, get Basilica. Head over to Portal Games. It's on sale right now for $25. Incredible game. Or better yet, if you're on that cruise ship and you need another game, and because you got multiple people, Dreadful Circus. Oh, that's a good game. Enjoy that game. But hey, your luggage is full. You need your tux because it's formal night. You need your shoes. Friend of ours just got back from the cruise. She took 7 pairs of shoes. I don't know why. I only had 1 pair. Who knows? If that's the case, then be sure to load it up on your phone, your Android and iOS. You can pick up the Imperial Settlers Rollin' Right, Nirishima Hex 3.0, Tides of Time. Download those bad boys. You got your portal fix on the go, ready to go. You're standing in line waiting to get into, you know, who knows, the Vatican. There you go. A good way to kill time instead of trying to talk to someone. Just leave me alone, people. Don't bother me right now. That's what you need to do. Go ahead and head over to Portal Games and be sure to pick up Imperial Miners. He keeps putting out those free promos out there. I'm still waiting on the March one. I know there's going to be a Leprechaun one, Ignacy. Come on. What are you waiting on? We had a Valentine. We need a St. Paddy's Day one. So you're a month behind. Let's get to this. I've gotten a free one. I got one for Valentine's. Why don't I have one from St. Paddy's Day? Let's jump on this. Head over to Shop Portal Games for all that goodness and all their sales that are going on now.
Five-minute initiative begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's delicious. It's crispy. It's bacon. Bacon, bacon, bacon.
Bacon, 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 bacon. Oh, what's that? Bacon strips.
Bacon strips.
Bacon strips, yeah.
Bacon strips for dogs. Now, Bacon from 2023 from Allplay is a ladder climbing game. And this is a game where you are trying to shed all your cards, be the first person to go out, and you will get some victory points over so many rounds, depending on the number of players. Or actually, it's, so many rounds, so many players will determine how long the game is, or a number of victory points will end the game. Typical ladder climbing game, when I play a combo of cards, you must now play a similar combo, but the rank has to be higher. Or you can play a special, like, four of a kind, and then people have to match the four of the kind or play a higher ranking special. One of the things that's important in this ladder style game is when somebody leads with a combo, like two pair or two. How do you do this, Mark? Two pairs of two pairs. I screwed it up when I was doing the example, all right? Or they had a plate. They have various cute little names because they have this menu card that comes with it. You must follow that combo. You cannot change the combo, but you may play special. That's very important for people to understand. When I played it the first time, people were kept trying to do a different combo. I'm like, no, you have to play the combo that's played.
But you're so used to that sort of thing, right? Where if somebody plays, so it's the scout thing, right? You have to play one better than what's already played. Here, it's like, no, you got to play the exact same thing. You just have to play a higher rank of what was played. So if somebody plays that two pair of consecutive rank, if somebody plays two twos and two threes, somebody else would have to play like two fours and two fives in order to beat it.
And then you also have wild cards, bacon cards, that you can intersect. And depending, once again, on number of players, certain suits are taken out, certain ranks are playing out. But bacon can always be the highest of all the ranks. It can be, if you're playing 1 through 8, then bacon can be a 9 to help you get above that. I mean, you were killing this game.
I was, because I want to mention, if you can't meet what they had, like you said, you always have these other options of special combos that you can use to try to shed cards from your hand. Now, when we played, what would happen is if the game started out and I realize I can't match, let's say Tony did 3 pairs of consecutive rank and I didn't have that in my hand, but maybe I had one of those little regular specials, I decided to pass and not do anything. So as Tony and Bert were shedding cards, when the round ended and we started again, they had less cards in their hand to choose from to make these ranks. Meanwhile, I was full of a lot of cards, and if I could get lead, I could be playing these really cool ranks that I know that couldn't be beat because you guys just didn't have the cards in your hand to do so. Mm-hmm. And that little strategy right there of passing the first round a couple times actually helped me win the game overall.
I also got stuck in two of the hands where I was like, okay, I had no method of putting them together. They were stragglers. They were like a bunch. There was a 1, and then I had a 3, and then I had a 5. And I was like, okay, great. I got a bunch of odd numbers here that I'm like, I could not find the match. Now, one of the things I did like about this game, Bacon, was the fact that, you know, suits didn't matter for making the combos. It did matter on certain specials. I like that. I also liked where you were playing, like if you had three pairs going down, that they had to be in consecutive ranks. If you played two twos, two threes, two fours, you couldn't just do two threes and then two fours and then two sixes. That was not allowed. I like that. That was a big strategy that was very important when we were playing. I also liked in this game the fact that you had, when you had an odd number, now there's various variants online that you can go take a look at, that if there's odd players, you're playing individually. If you're playing with even numbers, you play as teams. And I also like that in a team, that if you win or you win the round for that play, you can pass it to your partner so that they can start. That's very strategic at times. My wife was using that to make sure that it was very fashionable. If someone was near getting out of their cards when we were playing, she quickly gave them up. She won and said, you take the lead so that we can be out of cards and we can claim that victory point token. I've played it a couple of times. I've enjoyed it every time.
No, that's all play is just really coming out with a lot of these really nice small box games, which are perfect for your shelf, perfect for throwing inside a luggage or a storage container for taking on trips and stuff like that. That are just really fun, clever games. I've talked to one of the guys from an All Play. I talked to him at Tantrum Con, and they said, yeah, we've kind of found a nice little niche, almost like Oink games, Tony. These nice little small compact card games that people just love. That's what they've been doing with this line of games, and Bacon just definitely falls right into there. Not a trick-taking game, but it's just something totally different that has something familiar to it, but still a lot of strategy in it.
So be sure to check that out if you like a ladder climbing game. It's called Bacon, designed by Sean Ross from All Play.
5-minute initiative is complete.
Whenever we put on the table a game from Board and Dice, we know we got a thinker.
Oh, yeah.
We got a noggin tapper. Barcelona. Dun, 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 dun.
Barcelona
by Danny Garcia is one of those.
Yeah.
BGG weight 3.4, rounded up. That's where it's at. So that tells me it's a thinker.
Whatever that means. I just know
whatever that means.
This was a game that did not click with me. Not that I didn't like it. It was a puzzle I could not solve. And I literally had the second game, Tony and Bert going, Marty, just do this. Just do this. Oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that.
But that's unusual for you. Usually, I don't know what it was. I mean, Nucleum. We've talked about Nucleum and how well that combo thing just flowed for you. You were a savant with Nucleum.
It's really kind of like a worker placement game, right? So you got two tokens that you're going to draw that you're going to be placing on the board. And the board is made up like of a map of Barcelona. It's basically streets of Barcelona. And you're going to place tokens at an intersection of two streets. Well, at the end of each of those streets are actions. And so wherever you place it, those are the actions that you'll take. So I'm like, okay, straightforward. Kind of worker placement. I just want to optimize what actions I want to take when. I just couldn't solve the puzzle to do it efficiently.
Seriously, in the game. So if you were to do the quick teach on it, is you're going to place your two citizens, and you don't split them, you put them together and you stack them. There's three levels. There's the high class, middle class, and the low class. That's what I call them. I know they've got better terms than that. But anyway, you're going to place them on that board. And then when you do your actions, you then say, well, I've got to build up Barcelona based on Cerdà's concept of Barcelona. And then you draw two more citizens, and it moves to the next person. I mean, we're talking very fast turns.
No, it's not. Because the combos go absolutely insane when played right. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You did a good job of teaching about going around each of the actions at the end of the streets and explaining what they do. Some of them are very straightforward. There's kind of two main resources you have, gold and linen. So one of the spots is get gold. Another one is get linen. Mm-hmm. You have your own player boards that contain things like streets and intersections. And you can put your own streets out on the board. When you put your streets out, you immediately score points based on where you place the streets. When you put intersections out on the board, that's good because if somebody puts their citizens on one of your intersections, you get a bonus if they do that. So it's that kind of like a Lords of Waterdeep thing. Hey, I'm going to put a building back here, and if you use it, I get a benefit from it. That's kind of what the intersections are. Mm-hmm. So each of these are very simple actions. It's just that when you take them in the right order, you can start triggering multiple actions within one turn. And I guess that's the rewarding part that you and Bert did really well.
But at the end of the game, you were right there with us. So you may feel like you're out because there's in-game scoring, of course, that you can get. One of the actions is gain these in-game scoring tiles. One of these actions is, hey, you're going to go out and build a city work, which is a building that just gives you straight victory points and allows you to increase your Serta track, which is a way to do scoring at the end of one of the three rounds. There's only three rounds in this game, mm-hmm. and each of the rounds has a special objective that you meet, which is randomly pulled, which also matches in-game scoring, but you remove those in-game scoring tokens that match the round scoring tokens, so you can't count them twice. Which, yeah, I thought was, you know,
I like that.
So simple of an idea. It's a so simple idea. Why? Yeah, duh.
And that Serta track is basically a multiplier. So at the end of the round, you're going to say, how many points did I get? Where is my token on the Serta track? And it could be 1, 2, 3, or 4 times multiplier. Mm-hmm. So like you said, one of the actions on one of the ends of the streets is just increase your token on that track.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're donating to the Sagrada Familia, which is the famous church in Barcelona, huge church, still not complete. And that gives you some additional bonuses as well. As the first one you do, you're going to pay some gold, you're going to get a bonus. The next person who does that pays less, but the victory points is less. So, you know, all these little actions, and you're right, it's the combos. And there's one action that continued to floor us all.
Go ahead. You talk about it because I can't get this one straight.
Yeah, you can. All right. So the one action is you're going to take the tram action.
Now, can I put on top of this that there is a diagonal street in this board?
Yes.
So if you put your workers on that diagonal street, you actually have access to three actions. And one of those is always going to be the tram, which is why that center street is where you might want to put your intersections, because that's going to be used a lot. And the tram is where you really can come up with some crazy combos. Go ahead.
Right. So the tram action is, the key out of the tram action is, after you place your tram, you can move it. And after you move it, you may drop off a passenger, which is a little cube on your player board, if you pay the necessary calls. And when you drop off that person, guess what? You can do an additional action. That additional action, of course, could be the tram action again, if there's no passenger there. So then you could do another tram action. But so quickly those streets fill up with passengers, because when we played it, really, we didn't understand all the capabilities and the strategy of it.
The first follow-up play.
Yeah. The follow-up play, we began to see those combos and like, ooh, okay.
And you didn't mention it. Basically, the street you drop the passenger on is that there's an action at the end of that street. That's mm-hmm. the one you take. So a lot of those were like, ooh, I want to make sure my tram is close enough so I can get to that street and drop off a passenger there so you can take that particular action.
And if someone had built a street there, you or your neighbor or whoever it is, the other players, they can get victory points when your tram stops on that street. They get to count those victory points again. So I really want to take this action, so I'll move my tram there. Oh, crap, land here. Marty gets victory points for his street. That was the tram action, and we can, okay, so what am I doing with the tram? My tram's here. Do I get to do this action? No, you got to drop off a passenger, but you got to pay for that passenger.
Right.
Well, I need linen to do that. Well, then you need to go get some linen. Well, but that's not where I want to put my people. Well, I can't help you then, now, can I?
And so another one, which I was kind of doing a lot too, because I thought it was a way to get victory points, was on your board, you have a place where you can store your inventory of gold and linen. And when you start the game, a lot of those spaces are covered by tokens called cobblestones. One of the actions at the end of the street is remove a cobblestone token, which mm-hmm. gives you an additional place to store stuff on your board. And you place that cobblestone on a primary board in the middle of the table, covering up another action spot, which lets mm-hmm. you do something else. So removing a cobblestone will also give you a bonus of some other thing that you might could do. So that's another way to combo on top of that.
Provided you can pay for it.
Yes. Yeah.
So resource management, worker placement, and One of the other things is when you're placing out the citizens, as long as two citizens are on corners of a building in a
building, a block,
then you must build. You must build if you can. Mm-hmm. So this is important. There are three levels of the building. Depending on the citizens there will determine what buildings you can build. So that is important to follow as well. So there's strategy there, because when you build a building, you place out a disc. And if you put out so many number of discs, then you go up on the CERTA track, which is a good thing. Oh, but wait, there may be some in-game scoring there as well, number of buildings you've built. Oh, wait, there's even more in-game scoring where if you put a building on the opposite blocks, you get in-game scoring. Lots to think depending on how things go map and how you can figure out, okay, where am I going with this? But you always have to build, because when you build, you take the citizens and you place them on the round tracker. That will cause end of game to occur at the end of three rounds. And there's even strategy there too, isn't there, Marty? Because on that track, there are victory points that you get. So when I build a building, the lowest number of victory points shown is what I will get. So if someone covers that one up, we go up to the next lowest victory point track.
Yeah. That track is basically three rows, one representing each of the types of citizens. So like you say, when you build, you pull off the top citizen of the corners of the block where that building was mm-hmm. placed. And then based on their colors, you put them on that track. So as you're adding, eventually one of them will get far enough to trigger an end round. And then basically that round is done. Even though the others may not have caught up yet, the other two colors, doesn't matter, because now you're going to progress on to the second round. I really like that. I think it's a clever way to drive the mm-hmm. game. And I don't know, maybe it's not maybe a round marker, but it's definitely an in-game timer. As buildings are built, these tracks will fill up and eventually will trigger the end of the game. Now, I do have one issue. I have one major issue is that... All right, so when the final citizen is placed that would trigger the end of the game, it stops there at the end of the current round. I really want one extra round. Okay, I'm done. That was my... I wanted one extra round because I was first player. I set up something really cool. You two guys built buildings that happened to add the color of the citizens to the one track that would trigger the end of the game, and then I didn't get to do my cool little thing.
Now, I was fine with you taking an extra round because it would have really helped me with my end game. But Bert was all like, no, I don't want that because somebody's going to slingshot past me. And you would have, because you would have really ramped up on your end game scoring.
Yeah.
And you can't do it all. You can't do it all in this game.
And that's what I learned in the second game. First game, I tried to do everything. And in this game, I focused strictly on end game scoring. I immediately looked at those tokens that were available that I could put on my board for in-game scoring. So I would take the action to grab one of those tokens. There's another action where you can increase the multiplier. So each one of the in-game scoring starts with a base multiplier, one or two, but you can take an action, spend resources to bump it maybe from a 2 to a 3 or 2 to a 4 mm-hmm. so that you get tons of points at the end of the game, which is how I at least came back and made it. I said I sucked at the game. Y'all did help me a lot, but I did end up, the point spread was 5 points. Bert mm-hmm. won, I came in third, but the difference was only 5, which is pretty good.
Yeah, and we don't play to win games. We play to love games and learn games Whatever. And challenge our minds and keep us young. That's why we play these games. Because I lose enough that I have to tell myself that.
Yeah.
So, but my big nit for this game is on the four of the rows, there's four rows, you place a token that gives whoever builds a building in that row first gets 5 victory points. Mm-hmm. And it kind of drives to, you know, everybody wants to at least get those 5 victory points.
It's an easy 5.
It's an easy 5.
It's an easy five that the first player can't get and the second player can guarantee he can.
Which then leads, right, the third player can get it if it's done in the correct order, right?
But the second player can guarantee to get it. Because the first player,
if they go there,
the first player must drop 2 citizens. There's not enough citizens around a block to build anything. Second player can just put it on the same corner of a block or on another corner of the same block, and a building will be built.
Right, and then the third player can then go opposite of them, get one, yep. And then the fourth player can then go there, and he can get one, nope. And then the first player
possibly, I guess, because you're pulling tokens off each time something's built.
Right. So, but if everybody were to progressively build down the rows, it could happen.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It could happen. So everybody has could have an opportunity, and I think it would drive and what drove our mentality at the beginning of our first game. But I started to think in the remove that because it's that's all it's doing is well giving everybody 5 points if you're playing it that way. But then I was like, it's forcing people to go ahead and start building so that you're pulling citizens off to start speeding up that first round. If you remove that need or that desire to actually pull the citizens or do the building, strategically people might be placing around without doing that, and therefore it may slog that first round a little bit. So I understand it. I wish it wasn't so dramatic, and because it did, it felt dramatic. I mean, it was like 20 points for the second player, and it's like, God, gosh, how are we going to catch him?
My nitpick, and this is pretty much any work replacement game, especially with a lot of players, you really can't plan out your turn until it gets back to you because you just don't know what options are going to be available to you. Mm-hmm. Those citizens that are sitting in intersections basically blocking you. If somebody drops 2 citizens in an intersection that you wanted to go, well, guess what? You're going to have to go change your mind. So there was really no need for me to try to plan out a turn until it got back to me, especially in 4-player. The board state was going to change way too much. So what does that mean is when somebody's taking a long turn, and turns can take 3 to 4 minutes, right? I mean, a good combo turn could take 3 to 4 minutes when somebody thinks through it and everything like that. Everybody else is really just kind of zoned out. You don't really mm-hmm. have to pay attention. There's nothing you could do. There's nothing you could plan for. I guess maybe you could say, well, maybe you could have contingency plans. Well, if he does this, I'll do this. If he does that, I could do that. I'm just not smart enough to do that. So yep. I just waited until it got mm-hmm. back to me and then kind of decided from there. So long story short, there's a lot of downtime,
mm-hmm.
which is why I think this game is perfect for 3-player, but it was too long mm-hmm. for 4. We played yes. 4 and 3, and 3 was much better. 3-player, we finished in 1 hour and 45 minutes.
I agree with you. 3-player, I think, is a good spot. I think it also provides a lot more strategy. And I do think that, and I, you know, we played with the baseboard. You have the ability to mix up the action tiles. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's recommended personally. But when I did that with Teya Tawakin, mm-hmm. it really messed up our game, messed up the flow. So I think when it's put on the design board like it is, maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe you don't need to mess with perfection. Just thinking through it now, and I'm going to close this out on my side from the standpoint of. Nucleum, I think, is my favorite from Board and Dice. Okay?
You mean the most recent or like overall?
Overall.
Wow. Wow.
I think Nucleum, and I mean, I'm going through their list. I mean, Origins and, you know, all the other T games that they come up. And I love Tabanusi, you know, Teya Tawakin, not much, one of my favorites. But I think Nucleum is top for me of Board and Dice thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barcelona is right up there. 2 with the right player count.
Right.
Okay. That's just because it's got some of the things I enjoy in a board game.
I think it's easier, even though y'all grokked it a lot easier than I did. I think it's an easier game to possibly teach and understand because the concepts are something you've probably seen before, especially if you've played worker placement games. Mm-hmm. How to utilize them is the brain burner. But I don't think teach is too bad, where some of the other games take a little bit of a while to teach. Now, I think my favorite board and dice is still Tekkenu, the one with Tekkenu, the big obelisk. Mm-hmm. Now, that's one of those that if I had to sit down and play, I'd have to reread the rules and learn it again and everything like that. I like the way that game flowed. I, too, really like Nucleum. It's up there, too. I like Nucleum a lot because I like how what I'm doing thematically feels like what they wanted me to do in the board game. I got to create tracks to deliver power to power plants. I've got to create connections to get power to the homes to power them up. All that just kind of worked in my mind for me. This mm-hmm. one was a little more abstract because it's in Barcelona, but it's just more abstract in what we're doing. I didn't feel like, oh, I'm really building buildings and making streets and stuff like that. Hey, I just want to get streets right. and get some points. But it is a solid game. I, too, would agree that probably 3-player is probably the max for me at this point. And maybe if I just keep playing it, maybe it'll eventually click for me. Mm-hmm. is me being able to understand it and combo it like you guys did. But yeah, it's a good puzzle. It's a good puzzle game that's really not that hard to learn.
Right. It's not that hard to learn. And if you don't mind the downtime and thinking, I mean, maybe instead of going to the restroom or refilling our drinks, maybe we should have been thinking, well, if he goes here, maybe I should have been paying more attention to where I think you were going to play. And you're right. I mean, Bert kept saying it. Why did you go there? Everywhere you're going, I'm always wanting to go right there behind you. I'm like, because those were the actions I needed. So with that, if you enjoy the board and dice games, I think it is one. It's, these thinkers, they're always good from the standpoint of, you know, challenging you. This is definitely going to be, it's an easy action teach, getting the act or easy step teach, process teach. Actions will be kind of a stretch at times, and definitely consider some of the, not so much the interaction, but the solitary play that comes with it. So that is
Barcelona.
So Miniature Market has a brand new sale that they're starting called Backrooms. It's the Backroom sale. It's like, ooh, walk into their store and there's like a secret room back in the back. Did you ever go in the video rental store, Tony, and they had that secret room back in the back and your parents said you don't need to go in there?
No, I didn't live on your side of town. No.
You didn't have the 18 and over video rental room in your video local neighborhood store?
No.
I guess it was the rough side of town I was on. All right.
Yeah, or even the videos for Camelot Music when we did the video rentals, I didn't care.
Oh, okay.
We put them out there. Everybody, hey, it's free reign.
All right. So anyway, so Miniature Market has their own backroom deals that are available to anyone, not just 18 and older, where you can go out there starting on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central Time until Friday, 3 p.m. Central Time. They're going to have a lot of items listed, just pages of them, that they're having special offers on. These are online and select products only, and they're in limited quantities, so you want to make sure to go out and check it out as soon as the list pops up on Tuesday. And they're also sold first come, first serve, and they can't be held. So that's the thing. It's like, you want it, you want to get it now. You're going to have to get it now because you can't place them on hold, which is a nice feature. I do love their on hold feature where I go out there, order a game, and throw it on hold because there's a pre-order coming out later that I can combine and get cheaper shipping. I just used them recently, did a fantastic job, ordered on a Monday, got my stuff in on a Friday, shipping was only $6.99, so I took the cheapest shipping possible, and it still got here in a very reasonable time, and you can expect the same thing with these backroom deals that are going on right now at miniaturemarket.com, or maybe instead of clicking that, head over to rolldicetakenames.com, click on our Miniature Market image there, which has our affiliate link, which will help out the show, and save that affiliate link to your browser and click on it every time you go over to the store to check out the latest backroom deals.
Five-minute initiative begins in 3, 2, 1.
Marty and I talked about a trivia show that was on recently. It was called The Floor, hosted by Rob Lowe. And on there was a gentleman called, his name was Mondo. Mm-hmm. And when Rob was asking him, talking to him, he said, hey, tell me about yourself. And Mondo goes, I designed a board game. So I immediately, being the board game enthusiast I am, jumped on the BGG and said, what did Mondo do? And Colorfill from 25th Century Games popped up. This was his big release. Mm-hmm. And this is a tile placement game where you have a palette before you. Well, first off, you start with a foundation of colors. And your goal is to line up these colors to score you points. So at the end of three rounds, the person with the most points wins. Mm-hmm. How you do that is from the palette, you will select a new color to try to line up with the other colors on your palette by replacing one of the tiles. By doing that, hey, that's great. Now, once you place them, that's done. Now, there is some inspiration where you can rotate or swatch tiles, and you're given three of those at the beginning of the game. But everybody goes through. In the first round, there's five tiles you'll get to select, and then there's four and four. That's the game. This is a basic tile laying type of game with abstract colors.
Yeah, and so if people just want to picture, it's a 2x3 player tableau that you have. So there's six tiles on there. And the palette you're choosing from only has three to choose from, but you can draw from the top of the palette that you want. So again, you're just trying to get colors to match each other, either tile to tile, or the edge of your board also has colors too. And if you can get the tile to match the edge of a color, then you're going to get to count that. And then you score each tile, how many colors are matching from this tile to the tiles beside of it and the edge of the board, and you get a point for each matching color. and you add those up, and that's how it goes over three rounds. I will say, Tony, that this is probably the most basic of basic tile drafting, tile laying games. That mm-hmm. is, if you have somebody that has never played a game like this before, and there are a bunch of tile laying games out there, you wouldn't probably start with Carcassonne. Instead, you want to start with something a little bit lighter. This is it right here. This is one of those that I could for sure like teach my parents. Hey, draft a tile, try to match those colors. If you do, you get some points. Don't worry about the points. I'll explain how they are when we score, sort of deal. It's really that straightforward.
Yeah. And the tiles either have four or three colors on them, depending on how they are. So that will help them understand. And as the rounds progress, there are victory points on the tiles as well. So if they match up, you get to count those victory points mm-hmm. in your scoring at the end. And there's an added bonus where you can put out these community cards that will add additional objectives that you may want to be shooting for, like, mm-hmm. you know, who has like the most yellows or something like that. I can't remember them. There were a bunch there.
Yes. I would say for gamers, use that module because that adds some more depth to the game.
And I mean, they say 10 and up. I'm going to have to say this 8 and up, especially if you've got gamers or kids that have been playing games with you, this is something to take a look at. I mean, the game plays in 20 to 45 minutes. It's your easy setup. If you keep your tiles separated, if you did like I did, you punched them and you threw them on in a box. That was a bad thing to do. You need to keep your tiles separated. Easy, quick setup. I mean, overall, I think, you know, it's there could be some hate drafting, but I'm not there. I'm not going to try to look at your board and what somebody else's board's doing and keep you from getting that color. Though I think you were constantly doing it.
Not when you're only drafting four or five tiles per round. I can't afford to hate draft. I need to worry about getting my own points, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's a tile that can help you and can help me, I'll take it because, sure, why not? But I'm not going to take something just to hurt you in spite and not do me any good.
Right. And there is a catch-up mechanic at the end of the round. The person who is in the father's place will get to keep certain tiles if they won't.
Yes.
To start the next round. So say maybe they have a really good run of color going and they want to keep that and possibly build on that for later.
Yes.
So yeah, basic tile laying game. A lot of, you know, people, a lot of the videos that I've watched on how to play it, they really enjoyed the game and they love the easy play nature of this game. So that is Color Field from 25th Century Games.
We got offered this game from Pandasaurus Games called Courtesans from designer Romeric Gallinier and Anthony Perrone. And what appealed to me about this game, Tony, is you grab three cards in your hand each turn. You got to play one to your play area, one to the center of the table, which is called the Queen's Table, and one to somebody else's play area. And the concept is very simple. As you place these courtesans at the Queen table, you can place them above the Queen's table or below. And that's going to help their standing with the queen. Because after you play three cards, you draw another three cards, and you continue until the deck is empty. At the very end of the game, you're going to evaluate each of the factions at the queen's table. They will either be in their favor or they will have fallen from favor. If they're in the favor, every one of those types of courtesan cards you have in your area is worth 1 point. If they are out of favor, it's minus 1 point. So I love this idea. Well, I'm going to try to make sure to put down in front of me the one that's in favor right now. And, ooh, Tony has somebody that's not in favor over there. So I'm going to give him this. And I'm going to put this over at the table to try to drive Bert's guys over here that's in favor out of favor. So those are worth negative points. So there's a lot of strategy each time you play those three cards.
Or I may play a card to make you want to keep in favor, so that we are working together. So that's another way of thinking about how you're playing these cards. Now, also, these cards have special abilities. There's someone who can assassinate a card depending on where it's played. If I play an assassin in your area, I can kill one of your cards. If I play a noble in your area, it's times two. So you'll get times 2 points on that card. It'll count as twice.
It counts as two cards, yep.
Yeah. And then there's one that was one of my favorite. Well, there's the shield guy who can't be assassinated. But my favorite was the spy. It is played face down to the area in which you're placing it. So no one knows. And once you play it face down, you can't look at it. So you can't flip it back over. That can easily sway the way the favor is seen by the queen when you're playing to her table. Because, hey, they don't know that I just placed two of the hair nobles in there or the hare family. that means they don't know, and they're ganging up on the hairs to think they're going to be in favor. No, I've got a bunch of spies there. So they don't know what's getting ready to happen. That probably was the best part of this game for me. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that hidden element to drive out the how favor would fold out. And then there's always special objectives that can also drive your strategy that you were given at the beginning of the game.
Yep, secret objectives that nobody knows what you're working on. So I always like stuff like that because it kind of gives you a starting point. It's like, well, I know if I get this and this, that's going to be worth 6 points. And this is not a high-scoring game. Like, we played two games of it. I think the highest each time is like 13 points. So 13. It's not very high scoring at all because there's a lot of negative points that's going to be sitting on your table. But I, too, like the spy. I think it's really cool, especially when it's at the queen's table. If you play a spy below her area, it's like, ah, I wonder what color that is. I wonder what faction that is. And then it's not resolved till the very end of the game. And then it's shifted over to this correct spot on the board, which could change the favor of that particular faction.
Right. Now, you could say, well, why not play everybody to the queen's favor? Why would you even play negative? Because we're people and we're going to try to mess with one another.
Well, of course. I mean, if Tony has a bunch of blue cards sitting right in front of him, that's a bunch of points he's going to score. So then if I got a blue card in my hand, then I'm going to try to drive the blue suit out of favor at the queen's table.
Yeah. Now, where is the downtime in this game? It is as you're playing to someone and to the table and to yourself, is sometimes you'll get those hands where you're like, I really need to play to the table this card. But no, I don't want to do that because I really want to give it to Marty because that will assassinate one of his powerful, you know, nobles. So wait, but if I do that, I can assassinate someone in mine that will help limit my negative points. There's your downtime. Also, can you plan ahead? Well, no, not really, because you don't know what people are going to be giving you until it happens. Like, oh, look, Marty just gave me a card. Bert just gave me a card. Mark just gave me a card. So, dang it. You know, well, now that changes my whole strategy. But the game plays, like Marty said, very quickly. Deal three cards, play three cards. You know, it's straightforward.
Yeah, it is. Now, this was kind of a highlight of the night for me, was Courtesans. I enjoy quick games like that. And again, it plays up to five players, and it plays fast. 20 minutes, shuffle, deal with the cards. Now, okay. The shape of these cards.
Okay, here we go. Here's the negative. Yep.
The shape of the cards is kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're not poker-sized cards. They're long and thin, which makes them kind of hard to shuffle.
Yeah. Easy to hold, but you only got three cards, so it doesn't really matter. But right. It's easy to see the various suits, ranks, however you want to call it. Love the foil. Love the artwork.
Oh, yeah. The artwork is amazing. It looks really good. And then, like, in each one does have a foil on it. So it's a very simple card game. It's just cards only and the cloth map, a nice cloth mat that you put out that represents the queen's table so you can play the cards. I like this. I want to keep it in my collection because it's a nice small box that I can just throw away in a drawer and play anytime I just want to have friends and family over for a quick game. So that is Courtesans from Pandasaurus Games.
5 minute initiative is complete.
Do you need a clever way to store some of your smaller mats? Then go over to GameToppersLLC.com and check out their late pledge for the latest Kickstarter, because Berkey has a couple deals going on right now. He has these really nice cases for storing some of the smaller play mats, and regularly $79.80, you can get a 4-pack for $39.95. But for me, I don't know. I think I would move up to the next higher one, which is the Baker's Street Irregular Carrying Caddy, because with that one, you have a caddy that you can hang over your door with a hook or either roll up that will hold four different sizes of mats along with bags. The mat bags are either 15-inch or 26-inch, so they're perfect for carrying multiple mats, especially if you're into card games. I don't know, maybe like Star Wars Unlimited, where you got some playing mats that you want to store. But I love the fact that you have this sweet carrying case, and I can just hang it over a door down in my basement, one of the closet doors, store those there. The mats don't get wrinkled and everything like that, and it's a heck of a deal. Regularly $89.95, only $49.95. It's a great deal. These are going to start shipping like now, like it's supposed to be in April, so you don't want to wait too late. Head over to GameToppersLLC.com, go over to their late pledge page, scroll down to the accessory bundles, and you'll find it there. That is the Baker Street Irregulars Carrying Caddy or the Matt Storage Bag 4-Pack. All right, so last episode, I told Tony, I said, look, there's a game on the eShop. Well, it's everywhere. It's available everywhere. It's called Balatro. It's a roguelike deck building game, except you're playing Hands of Poker. He got it, but he had not had a chance to play it. So here we are a couple weeks later. Have you played Balatro?
I have. I have definitely played that. So, yeah, big sigh. I don't get it. I don't get. What am I trying to do? There's no end game. So I eventually figured that out after a while. There's no end game.
The goal is to play 8 rounds. That you really? Win the game if you've played 8 rounds.
Well, that should tell you something.
Look, I didn't say it was easy.
I mean, so the whole objective of the game is to build a deck of cards that allow you to keep scoring higher in your ante. That's the way it goes. And there's various, when you get to the big blind, there are certain restrictions that apply on this game that can really mess up your strategy from previous rounds. And I think the game cheats. That's just me personally, based on how things went. Seriously, I'm playing this game and I'm using all my money to adjust my deck so that I'm hearts and diamonds.
Sure.
Okay. I'm flipping those over and look, there's the big blind. Well, guess what? All the diamonds are debuffed or debunked or whatever the word is they use. So those points don't count. Well, what the heck? And now you're drawing for 3 hands straight, nothing but the diamonds, because that's, well, how I set up my deck. You're cheating, game. You're freaking cheating.
Well, the thing is, though, with this game is the jokers. You've got to get synergy between your jokers at the top of the board to maximize those points.
Yes, and I understand that. I didn't understand as I was playing this, because I didn't get to play a lot of times because the game is over. The jokers, I was like, okay, so I need to do that. And then I didn't understand is it spatial or there's the planet cards or something that you use them one time
for spectral cards. Yeah. So you can modify the types of cards you have in your deck. And then you want to get the planet cards, which upgrade each of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to focus on one type of hand. Like, for example, there's one time I won and I pumped up my 2 pairs. I kept adding the 2 pairs and making those huge multipliers. And then I happened to get the joker that said, hey, anytime you play a pair, there's a multiplier on that. So then I was scoring tens of thousands of points per round because I was playing a bunch of pairs.
And that was the other thing I wasn't understanding. I was thinking you always needed to play 5 cards. You don't.
No, don't.
You don't, because you weren't trying to set it up for later. I understand the discarding. I like the joker that allowed my hand size to go up.
Yep.
I didn't use discarding very well, because when you discard, you take negative points or something. I forget what it does.
No. You got a limited number of discards.
Right. So you can get, okay, these cards aren't going to help me at all. Oh, crap. I can't believe I just discarded this in the stupid game. Just gave me what would be a flush straight. Thank you.
Now, also remember, even though you ain't got to play 5 cards, that's a good way to discard cards. So if you could, I do 2 pair, but there's another card I know I don't want, throw it in the hand to get rid of it.
Yeah. Because it doesn't count.
Right. And also, you may not realize this too, you can change the order of the jokers. They're resolved from left to right. So make sure to have all your multipliers on the end on your addition on the front.
I didn't realize that it mattered.
Yeah, it does. It does. When you look at the order of operations, it's going to resolve from the first joker on the left to the right. So you want to
make sure my jokers is, so if all my diamonds get a +4 on value and then the multiplier comes
that's
afterwards,
what you
that's
want.
What
a, yeah, that's
what
it.
You want. Okay. Well, I'm going to keep giving it a try, keep playing it, see, you know, what I want to do. I mean, I like the concept of it versus, you know, I'm just trying to make a lot of money. Now that I know there is an end game or end thing I need to reach, I will definitely try that. So was it a good $15 to spend? Yeah, it was easy. I appreciate your tip about getting rid of the CRT effect that they had going on there. What the frick was that for?
It's hard to see. So, what's the furthest round you've got?
Maybe 3rd round.
No, you've had to get beyond 3rd. Then you haven't played a lot. That's the furthest.
I haven't played a ton, but I'm still getting the concept of the game because I also learned to bank some of my money for later.
Oh yeah, because you earn interest on what you've banked. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I haven't played a ton. I've played some so that I could get ready for this to understand. But I'm still like, okay, this game. I'm just not. I'm not getting the flow of this game. I understand what I need to do, but how do I increase it? And I'm not seeing enough of the jokers. Okay, now that you've given me some of the strategy, I will definitely go back and give it a try.
Okay.
It beats me trying to assassinate somebody in Assassin's Creed Black Flag that I also bought on the Switch.
All right, well, maybe next time we talk, you'll actually won one. It took me forever. I was getting so frustrated. I spent like days just playing over and over again. And then I hear some of my friends go, oh, I just played. I got the game. Second time I won. Second run I won. Shut up. Just shut up.
Once again, just like in the board games we play, it's all about the card draw.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. And the more you play, the more jokers you'll unlock. Because then you'll have other options for more jokers in later games. So it rewards you for playing more. It'll keep unlocking things for you.
You know, I'm so used to having codes to enter to save games, or when I turn off the Switch, I'm like, oh, did I have to save that? I guess not. Oh, well, we'll see what happens when I turn it back on. Do I have to restart? So, yeah, I mean, I appreciate you pointing this out for me. Is it going to be one that I'm always playing where I'm getting ready to go on vacation? Is it something I'll put on the plane? Yeah, fairly easy to see, a lot better than any other game. So it's something I'll definitely take with me.
Balatro.
So once again, I'm going to recap the show for everybody. Get ready for the strike tournament. Save that date.
Mm-hmm.
It's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars Unlimited. They're getting more decks out there. You get to hear more about it, I'm sure, from Marty and I.
Mm-hmm.
Check out Barcelona. Barcelona.
And don't forget to go over our Discord channel. Play Song Saga with us. Let us know you liked your first concert or a game or a song that makes you laugh.
Or first concert.
That's what I said. First concert, song that makes you laugh, or your favorite disco song.
Staying alive. So, you know, that's how you do compressions. And you just keep doing that over and over. That's how they taught us at work. That's how you do it.
You saw The Office, right?
No.
You never saw that? Oh, dude, there's a whole bit where they teach the staff
CPR.
CPR, and they teach them that about staying alive, and they all start singing and dancing. It's
just... Oh, my gosh. I'll see if I can find that one. I'll find out which episode it is, and I'll watch it just so I can appreciate it. Watch that one.
It's funny.
Unlike this show, it's funny, but keep rolling dice.
And taking names. Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to save the date for our strike tournament if you're going to be at Gen Con. And please follow us on social media at Dice and Names. Come join our Discord channel. And don't forget, you can support the show over at buymeamoonpie.com.
Marty, I don't think those guys have anything on us. I think we did just as well as they did.